Salutan from BA. This is a Rorschach multilateral update from the 10th of February 2026. A summary of what's going down in the world's major multilateral institutions. First up this week, on Tuesday the 3rd, NATO confirmed it had begun mapping out a new Arctic security operation called Arctic Sentry as friction grew among allies over Greenland. The effort is still early, but it's meant to strengthen the alliance's presence in the far north, while members figure out how to handle rising geopolitical pressure. The move follows repeated remarks from US President Donald Trump about wanting control over Greenland, comments that irritated European partners. Danish officials welcomed the planning, calling it an important step, while NATO leaders stressed the need for cooperation among Arctic nations. To know more about this story, check out the Rorschach Arctic update with the link in the show notes. Meanwhile, on Friday the 6th, senior officials from the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, or OSCE, wrapped up a trip to Moscow, marking the first visit by an OSCE chairperson to Russia since early 2022, when Russia invaded Ukraine. The stop followed talks in Kiev and highlighted the group's push to keep communication open while working toward ending the war in Ukraine. Leaders pointed to the ongoing harm to civilians and stressed that diplomatic efforts should restart to reduce suffering and support a lasting peace. They also raised concerns about detained OSCE staff and said the organization is prepared to help with future recovery and stability efforts in Ukraine. Also on Friday the 6th, a United Nations committee agreed to carve out sanctions exemptions so 17 aid programs can move forward in North Korea, according to a diplomatic source. The projects had reportedly been stalling for a year. The decision for the exemptions was unanimous. The approved exemptions are expected to allow the delivery of medical supplies, nutrition support, and infrastructure repairs, areas that have been particularly affected by bureaucratic delays and restrictions on imports. Diplomats familiar with the process said the year-long holdup stemmed from lengthy reviews and caution among member states over potential sanctions violations. The efforts to sanction North Korea are generally to prevent the nuclear-capable and unpredictable country from strengthening its position globally. In energy news, on Friday the 6th, oil prices moved upward as investors weighed the risk that tensions between the United States and Iran could spill into open conflict. Analysts cautioned that any disruption near the Strait of Hormuz, which is a key route for global crude shipments, could quickly affect supply. Separate output problems in Kazakhstan and Saudi pricing adjustments added to the uneasy trading environment. In other news, on Tuesday the 3rd, the European Union reportedly decided to move ahead with a plan to build reserves of key raw materials, with Italy, France, and Germany expected to steer the effort. The push is largely about cutting reliance on China after export limits on minerals like gallium and rare earths rattled supply chains. France is set to handle financing, Germany will focus on securing up supplies, and Italy is likely to oversee storage. About 10 member states are already involved, though participants noted progress has been slower than hoped as logistics, funding, and volume details are still being sorted out. In health news, on Wednesday the 4th, the World Health Organization said preventive cholera vaccination campaigns were restarting after a pause that lasted years, caused by limited vaccine supplies. The stockpile has climbed to roughly 70 million doses, allowing about 20 million to be distributed first, with Mozambique among the earliest recipients after severe flooding displaced hundreds of thousands and raised infection risks. Cholera is a disease caused by ingesting food or water contaminated with the cholera bacteria, and it can lead to severe dehydration and death if left untreated. It spreads most easily in places with poor sanitation and limited access to safe drinking water, especially during humanitarian crises. Cholera vaccination, usually given orally, provides short to medium-term protection and is used alongside clean water, sanitation, and rapid treatment to control outbreaks. More on health as on Thursday the 5th, the Pan American Health Organization introduced a virtual reality platform aimed at training public health lab workers across the Americas to better track respiratory viruses like influenza and COVID-19. The interactive system recreates a molecular biology lab, letting users move through sample intake and genomic testing while reviewing safety guidance and technical materials. It's meant to support hands-on learning, especially where advanced facilities are scarce. Officials say the project should help labs prepare for future health emergencies and strengthen regional detection and response capabilities. On Tuesday the 3rd, Tanzania's Prime Minister introduced a national agriculture strategy. Organized by the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization with government backing, the gathering brought together policymakers, researchers, businesses, and farmers to share ideas and build partnerships. Officials stressed that modern tools should support workers rather than replace them, while creating jobs and improving productivity. Agriculture is a cornerstone of Tanzania's economy, employing a majority of the population and serving as a primary source of income for rural households. The sector supports national food security and contributes significantly to export earnings through crops such as coffee, cashew nuts, tobacco, and tea. Strengthening agriculture is widely seen as essential for reducing poverty, improving livelihoods, and sustaining a long-term increase in the money supply. Still in Africa, on Friday the 6th, Zimbabwe said it had reached a staff-monitored agreement with the International Monetary Fund, a step viewed as reopening ties and possibly leading to future borrowing. The plan focuses on tightening fiscal and monetary policies while building a track record that could help the country tackle debt and restructure what it owes. It doesn't include funding yet, but officials see it as a progress toward financial stability. Inflation has recently cooled, reserves have grown, and authorities hope the effort will eventually restore access to global credit markets. On Monday the 2nd, almost 150 countries working through the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development agreed on major elements of a package meant to guide how a global minimum tax will operate in an increasingly digital and interconnected economy. The plan lays out coordinated rules intended to keep the system functioning smoothly while preserving earlier progress and protecting nations' rights to tax income generated within their borders. Officials described the agreement as an important moment for international tax cooperation, aimed at improving certainty, limiting complexity, and helping governments safeguard their tax bases moving forward. On to the Americas, on Friday the 6th, the Organization of American States highlighted a regional effort focused on youth leadership and mentorship, bringing together participants to share national experiences and spot emerging trends. Discussions centered on building a flexible framework that countries can adapt locally, while encouraging stronger education policies tied to democratic participation. On the same day, Turkey announced it will work with the International Labour Organization to help align labour, investment, and business policies while strengthening social dialogue. Officials said the appointment builds on long-running cooperation between Turkey and the Organization on Labour Governance, Human Rights Due Diligence, Responsible Business Conduct, and with the broader goal of ensuring companies contribute positively to economic and social development. Shifting gears, on Friday the 6th, the Philippines foreign minister said that the Association of Southeast Asian Nations will stick with its current policy on Myanmar despite ongoing debate about whether the bloc might shift course. She reiterated that their current plan for an end to violence, dialogue among all sides, humanitarian access, and a special envoy remains a foundation of regional efforts. And to close this episode, in an op-ed published on Tuesday the 3rd, historian and political theorist Luc van Middelaar argued that Europe is facing not just strategic distancing from the United States under President Donald Trump, but a deeper ideological challenge from a country long seen as its protector. He wrote that while European leaders have begun coordinating on defense, economic, and technology policy, they've struggled to respond intellectually to this shift. To read the full piece, check out the link in the show notes. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. A few of you have asked for an easy way to connect and get updates on Rorschach and the multilateral update, since maybe someday we will get it going again. We will set up a way for you to let us know you're interested and share it with you this coming week. See you next week.